Welcome to the Behavior Corner Podcast with Barb Rova. Barb created the Behavior Corner after almost two decades of working side by side with families to improve their children's behavior. This is a supportive place for parents to come together to learn how to manage powerful emotions, negative behavior choices, and the chaos that we experience along our parenting journeys. In the Behavior Corner, we share professional, practical, and positive parenting advice. These are the tools that will give you a strong foundation to make positive behavior changes in your children a reality. Get ready. This is going to be great.
Welcome to this edition of the Behavior Corner. Today in the corner, we are talking about three areas, including sensory needs, self-control, and anxiety. These three areas are hot topics for a lot of parents. And yes, there are things you can do at home to give your kids the tools to succeed. And any of these areas, we can see physical responses when sensory needs are not being met, when our child feels out of control, and or if they are experiencing anxiety. You may see negative behaviors. You may see attention-seeking behaviors. You may see meltdowns and tears. Your child may report to you their heart is racing. They may have headaches or other physical complaints. That is because each child reacts to these needs in different ways. And when a child is in need of some support with their anxiety or their self-control or their sensory needs, their behaviors, and especially their ability to communicate with us, are not always rational. They need help to regulate their emotions. They need help to meet themselves and get to a place where they can start to become more regulated, where the calming can begin to take over so that they are more apt to accept help from us. So how do we do that? We're actually going to start with anxiety, and there are specific tools that I recommend parents use to help their kiddos in the midst of an anxiety situation. It could be a specific anxiety disorder that you're struggling with your kids. It could be any situation that is just giving your child a little bit of anxiety. It doesn't necessarily have to be a disorder, nothing that's diagnosed formally. Whatever the case, anxiety is a normal and sometimes even helpful part of life. So when you are faced with an anxiety-provoking situation and your child's emotions are starting to become heightened and you're trying your best to help them become grounded again into reality, into a logical cognitive state where they can think through rational thoughts. They can make plans to solve their problem. They can communicate with you regarding their anxious feelings. My friends, there are things you can do. The first one I call grounding. And in our last podcast, I talked a little bit about this as a coping tool in general. And this is one of my favorite coping tools because I feel no matter what the situation and no matter the age of child or even adult, this grounding technique works amazingly. So it really takes into consideration each of our five senses as human beings: sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And I encourage you to run through these five senses with your child to help redirect their brain and bring it back online, so to say. Because when you do this, it gets the brain engaged and the senses going. And the anxiety feeling and the heightened emotions, they start to melt away. And it helps to make your child feel calmer. And it makes them feel grounded in reality because each of your five senses are experiencing exactly that reality. What do you smell? What do you feel? What do you hear? What do you see? What do you taste? And you can even start this off with your kids by telling them what you are experiencing. I smell the fresh air coming in the window. I smell the lilacs that we just cut and they're on the table in a vase. I see the black carpet you're sitting on. I see the purple paint on the wall. I taste the cookie we just ate. I feel that black carpet that you're sitting on. It feels soft. Do you see how we go through and we give examples? And now we're engaging their brain to start thinking about what we're talking about. And it helps them feel grounded in their reality. This is another one. This is a super quick one that is especially helpful for anxiety. Drinking a cold, ice cold glass of water. It helps. It truly does. It may seem silly, but have them gulp down an ice cold glass of water. It just helps our body relax a little bit. That cold water going down our throat, we can feel it. Oh, it's refreshing and it just takes the edge right off. It's super quick, super helpful, awesome for anxiety. Another way that you can help reduce an anxiety situation is to use the tool I call movement and breathing. So if you have taken me up on my offer to get a copy of my free coping cards, you will see in these coping cards, I give you guys a lot of options for movement and breathing. Whether it's reach for the sky as you breathe in for the count of three, hold that breath as you're tickling the stars, and reach down to the ground as you're exhaling to the count of three. Touch the floor. Crisscross your arms as you breathe in for three. Hold it. Uncross your arms as you breathe out for three. And do the same thing with your feet. As you cross your feet, breathe in for three. Hold it for three. And uncross your feet as you exhale. By the way, if you'd like a copy of those coping cards, go ahead and email me. Barb, B-A-R-B, at behaviorcorner.com, and I will send them right over to you. When we're moving and we're breathing and we're counting, you feel a positive physical response in your body. If you did those things right now in a non-stressful situation, you will still see and feel a positive response because our bodies and our brains, they react positively, to the deep breaths we're taking. Our muscles react positively when we are moving and introducing additional oxygen. How about this one along the lines of breathing? Patterned breathing. I also have patterned breathing cards. If you would like them, include that in your email to me. Again, that is barb@behaviorcorner.com. And these patterned breathing cards give your child a visual as they trace along the edges of a square. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. They can do it also along the edges of a star or across a line. The patterned breathing helps focus their sense of sight onto the card. Now they're touching the card as they move, and they're using the all-important tool of breathing. So I encourage you to try those anxiety tools. They are super helpful, and they're actually some of my anxiety tools way on the top of the list of working effectively with students who are faced with anxiety situations or even suffer with an anxiety disorder. So go ahead and check those out and use them. Introduce them to your kids, practice with them, and be ready for them to use them when needed. How about self-control? How about when our kids feel and act out of control? Well, the first thing I recommend you do is to give their feelings names. Not in the heat of the moment, because when they're out of control, they're probably going to be less able to reciprocate a conversation with you. You, though, as a parent, will need to judge this. Every child is different, so it will ultimately be up to you. But give their feelings names. grouchy. I had one child describe his feelings to me by saying he has an engine in his belly that won't shut off. It feels like a bomb was going to go off. I feel tight, like a caterpillar crawling with all those little legs. My face feels hot. Encourage them to name and describe how they're feeling. I bet you will be surprised and also intrigued by some of the ways they're expressing their feelings. I know I was when that child I was talking to you about described his feelings like an engine or a bomb or a caterpillar. It will help you gain some insight on what your child is feeling and where they're feeling it on their body. Is it their face, their belly, their fists? Where is it? And when you can use the feelings and descriptors that they have talked to you about in your planning with them, they are truly going to feel heard and invested in listening to what you need to say to help them regain control and hopefully not lose it as often in the future. And then I want you to think to yourself and ask your child, what may have caused them to feel this way? Yes, you as the parent have huge insight on what may trigger your child's behaviors, namely in this situation being out of control. But I guarantee you, your child will have even more insight because they are the ones experiencing it. Figure out what may have caused the behavior. And then identify and plan for things that they can do to help them calm down before they're out of control. For example, make a plan. When my brother makes me sad, I will do pull-ups in the basement, or I will run around the house to exercise. When I feel mad, I will go to my room and punch a pillow. I will come and talk to you about it, or I will go color a picture. Have a plan with them when they're feeling out of control. One other tool that I recommend you using when your child is out of control is to remove the audience. Get them out of sight of other people, because I find when kiddos who are acting out of control, they will continue to do so and even increase the amount of behaviors that are stemming from feeling out of control when people are around them. It could be showing off behavior. It could be just caught up in the moment, whatever, right? Get them out of that situation so that they have a place to calm and collect themselves. And you talk about the plan. It is something that they will thank you for. And it's something that you will teach them that it is okay to walk away from a situation if things start going badly. How about sensory? Sensory tools. So these are tools that help give your kids sensory input, such as tactile input, things that they can touch and feel, oral input, things that they can chew and navigate in their mouths, weighted items that will give them that physical input. So the sensory piece is something that is very common for a lot of us. We may be sensitive to light. We may be sensitive to sound. We may need heavy work is what it's called with our physical being. We may need to do push-ups or get heavy books and carry them. I already mentioned the weighted blanket because it gives our system input, as I call it, to help meet the physical sensory need. Now, if I go back to the sensory overload of light or of sound, then we need to be prepared to help our kiddos deal with that. If they have a sensory need to not go into the grocery store because it's too loud for them, then you may need to use the tool of simple earplugs or earbuds, right? So to meet our kids' sensory needs will truly be an individualized plan, an individual experience. So here's some ideas for you. those of you who have kiddos who benefit and crave the tactile input or the touch sense, allow them to play with slime. I've had kids tell me this is very satisfying. Same as water beads. They love getting their hands and squishing around the water beads. Velcro, this is a really interesting one because there's two sides to Velcro. One side is tough, one side is soft. Some kids love feeling that tough Velcro side, yet others like the soft side. And I have even worked with kiddos to put a piece of Velcro on the side of their shoe to help with their tactile input as they sit in the classroom on the carpet and are expected to sit still and quietly. They can still get the input that they're craving by rubbing that section of their shoe with where the Velcro is, and they're not distracting the class. So there are many different ways. Those are just a few of the top ways that I wanted to share with you today that gives a tactile experience to our kids. There's also the sensory need for oral sensory need, gum, doing mouth stretches or tongue stretches, allowing your kids to suck on hard candy. Or they even have something called chewlery. It's jewelry that's able to be chewed on. Simple Amazon search will bring that up. And it helps kids receive that oral sensory need. Again, very beneficial when our kids are showing us behaviors that are undesirable. If we can meet their sensory needs, a lot of those behaviors decrease and even go away. And here's the heavy work that I actually had a hard time explaining to you a little bit earlier. This is the physical piece of input within our kids' bodies, within our bodies sometimes that we need. It feels so good if we can do a few of those push-ups. It feels good to go for a run. That's actually mine. I love running and it feels good when I get out and I do that. So here's a few that I have seen really help kids, and it's some of the favorites that my kids have told me. Hole punching, a single hole punch. Have them do some hole punching. That's a really great way to get some heavy work into their hands. Doing chair push-ups, jogging in place, punching a pillow or punching a punching bag. Squeezing all of their muscles and then letting them go. Even challenging your child to squeeze all of the muscles on the top half of their body first, and then the bottom half, and then all at once. How about weighted items? Like I mentioned, carrying books, even in a crate, that is considered sensory input in the world of heavy work. Having weighted blankets, weighted vests, all those things help kids who have a sensory need for that physical heavy work. So I'm hoping that throughout today's podcast, if you are a parent of a child who suffers with anything sensory, self-control, or anxiety, that you have found a tool, or hopefully several tools, that may be able to help your child. And I encourage you, and I empower you, and actually I beg you to include your child in expressing what they feel may help them the best. So you can go to them with these ideas, but please, please, please take their input when you're deciding on which tool may work best for them. Why? Because any of us, no matter our age, if we have a say in our plan and we have some ideas that are being used in a plan, we are much more likely to follow through with that plan. And in this case, if your child has a say in selecting a coping tool, they are much more likely to use it. In fact, you may find out through having a conversation with them that they have some ideas on their own. And my friend, those ideas are going to be even more powerful than the ones I presented to you today. That is because they're ideas directly from your child. And when they're directly from your child is now 100% invested in using that tool because it's their idea. and they know how it can help benefit them. So go ahead, write down some tools, talk to your kids, and start along that journey of coping. Until next time in the corner, I encourage you, be brilliant and empowered.
Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Come and visit us on our other social media platforms, including our fan page found on Facebook, Behavior Corner LLC, and our amazing closed group where even more goodness happens at Raising Kids, Behavior Solutions That Work. And of course, a shout out to Barb is always available at barb@behaviorcorner.com.